Well, what a mighty presence of God here tonight. And it sure is. Yep, glory, we believe that. And I'll tell you something. I honestly believe that the last couple of weeks that revival has started to break through here in Kingston. It's true. And I've been in and out of revivals. I've personally led three myself, and I've been working with other men of God over the years, with other revivals around the nations, and for about 28 years now, full time. And you sense revival. That's why we're extending the meetings. And I know, really, it's day, what is it, day 10, 11? When did Roy finish? Day 10, was it? 12. This is day 12, so this is not restarting again. We're just, the fire's been kindled. It took the people a while last night to get used to my Australian voice. And I'm not Roy. I haven't got the hair he's got. But he's a very close friend of mine, and he's a great guy. And we're just continuing on. And I honestly believe it's going to be a revival that's getting known. And you'll find there'll be people from Australia watching by webcam tonight. Is that what they call it, webcam? So all those who are on webcam, bless you. Thank you for joining us here. And and it's going to break out. See, it doesn't really matter who's leading the revival. Whether it's Aurora Fields, who's very well known because of the Florida outpouring, or whether it's me or anybody else, it doesn't matter as long as the ministers up here are letting the Holy Ghost just move. That's what the secret is. And see, we've got to get our eyes off man and get them onto Jesus. And that's good to say that, providing you've got people up here who are just letting the Holy Ghost loose. Because the whole idea of it, friends, is to get you totally on fire for God, for you to make an impact in your community. It's not just about meetings. Initially, you've got to have a lot of meetings because you keep just hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And then all of a sudden, the numbers start to come in like they've been doing over the last couple of weeks. And you've just got to keep at it. I don't know why it works this way. But he does, and I don't know why people fall to the floor and shake and cry and laugh. But God uses all those things to shake all the flesh out of us and to get us to fall in love with him. It's all about Jesus, it really is. We say that, but I actually mean it. It is really all about Jesus. It's not about me trying to make my imprint up this neck of the woods because I'm not too well known around these parts. It's not about that. It's all about him. But we're going to have a good time in God. His glory and fire is going to fall here tonight. And he is, yeah. It's about him. It's a nice feeling to know that it's all about Jesus. And people say, do you ever get nervous of these type of meetings? No, because it's in his control. We don't have plans. And wasn't the worship band great tonight? I want you to give them a hand, yeah. A lot of that singing was and playing was spontaneous. They planned the first four songs, and I just quickly, 10 minutes before the meeting, played them a few songs, but all the worship we're into, that was all spontaneous. And it's an anointed band to be able to pick that up and just flow with it. And I could see you all entering in there. That's what it's all about. I've been involved a few times in churches that I've planted just by hiring a hall and not knowing who was going to come, and then a few months later, hundreds of people there because of the healings and the worship. And God has always blessed me when I start churches with full-on bands or worship. Psalmists will come in. I seem to attract psalmists for whatever reason that is. And it's a marvelous thing when I used to say to them, I only plan for three songs, guys. The rest of it is spontaneous worship. And before long, they were flying in a couple of those churches that God really blessed in revival. They're flying in from all over Australia and New Zealand to have a look at our worship and have a look at the power of God. And so it's about Jesus. We just got to keep our eyes and our focus on him. People say, well, people aren't going to be hungry in this up here. It's pretty dry and dead up here. It's the center of witchcraft. And I hear that everywhere I go in every country. Everybody's got this, their place as the center of witchcraft. I couldn't care less if the devil himself lived here. Couldn't care less. We got to be far more aware of the presence of God. Anyway, you know, where sin increases, the grace of God abounds more. So if there's big devils here, that means greater grace. So this is a prime target for revival. Yeah, it's true. And so, well, the Holy Ghost thinks it's funny. That's okay. Look, if these revival meetings, if you want to laugh, you're not interrupting me. It's the Holy Ghost. I don't care. You can jump up and run around the church or swing on the chandeliers if you want. You know, and but what about the cosmic cookies and the super spooks in meetings like this? Well, we deal with them. But the problem is, if you, it's best to have a bit of wildfire than no fire. Because if you're always correcting the people who are just responding to the Holy Ghost, you'll put out the real fire. The cosmic cookies who've really had too much pizza instead of visions, you know, probably had too much pizza the night before, they're a dime a dozen. 99% of people, they're all there hungering for God. And just hunger for God. And keep yourself yielded to the Holy Spirit. And don't judge the methods, judge the fruit. If people's lives aren't changing, well, get out of here. Get away from my ministry. Get away from this place. But if people's lives are changing, who cares whether they shake or laugh or cry or run around the building or whatever? It doesn't really matter. Those things have been in revival right from the book of Acts. You imagine on the day of Pentecost, 120 people waiting for something that they didn't have a clue, really, just in obedience to God. And the Holy Ghost, or God himself, shows up and breathes upon them in a violent rushing wind, and tongues of fire separate and land on each one of their heads. But in the Greek, it means that they were clothed with tongues of fire. It was on their head that went through their bodies. Boom. And it caused them to be drunk. Now, Peter, it's 9 a.m. They come onto the streets of Jerusalem, all acting like drunk people, full of the Holy Ghost. And Peter had to say, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Meaning that they're drunk all right. But they're not drunk as you suppose. They're full of, they've been bellying up at Joel's bar. You know, Joel, he prophesied that in the last days God says, I'll pour out my spirit. So we're to drink from Joel's bar. And there's no side effects. You know, I've seen people drunk as we have to carry them out and have to drive them home. I've seen all sorts of things happen. I've seen people who have got total mental disorders, been let out of the psych ward just for the night for the meeting, and been thrown against the wall and stuck there for hours, and then been discharged 2 days later because God totally healed them in that funny position on the... Yep. Just to inspire your faith, I saw Jesus do a wonderful miracle one night on... I noticed this man sitting in the second row. It's a big youth conference. And I was the guest speaker in Melbourne, Australia. And this guy, you could see, he was a slow learner. You could see he looked like he had a mental disorder. And he just wasn't stressed. He looked slow and almost mongoloid looking. And I'm preaching away. And all of a sudden, in the spirit, I see this archway of anointing just over here as I'm preaching over here. And I don't think anybody else saw it, but I see things in the spirit. I saw this archway of anointing. And I looked at this man and I said, sir... And I said, in case he doesn't understand, you know, because he's very slow in the head, I said, could you please stand up and walk through this archway of anointing? And when you do, you'll fall down on the ground, you'll be out for hours, but when you get up, you'll be totally healed and you'll be a normal. And that's a big thing to say in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. And so he walked out the front and he walked through this, no one saw the archway of this anointing. It looked like the Stargate thing. And that's before the Stargate films came out. And that's what it looked like. You're just walking into this mesh of anointing and this vibrant light just moving. And he came through the other side. He fell under the power of God and was out the rest of the meeting, which was about 2 or 3 hours. And God totally healed that man. And then, now, that was in the 80s, about 1987, something like that. I was at a conference. I wasn't speaking at it, a Holy Spirit conference in Melbourne a couple of years ago. And I was just a VIP. My friend, great friend Tim Hall, is a great Australian revivalist evangelist who's great friends with Rodney Howard Brown and preaches for those sort of guys. And he's one of my great mates, and he just invited me to come and be blessed. And just before a meeting, this man came up to me and said, hello, Steve, I've been trying to keep in touch with you for years. I've been trying to get in touch with you and never been able to get a hold of you. He said, do you remember me? And I said, I do remember your face. He said, I was the man who's a total slow learner. I was mental. And you called me out the front and told me to walk through this archway. I didn't see the archway, but when I walked where the power of God was, it hit me. And he says, I'm totally healed. I've got a wife and three children now. He was a businessman. Yeah. To him. Now, when you see things like that, you know that it's real. Just recently, very recently, in the last couple of years, I had a church called Revival Now Church in Perth, Western Australia, and it was one of Rodney Howard Brown's churches over there, and I was a lead pastor of it. And this woman came who was on drugs. I forget what they call them, for psychiatric drugs. She had mental problems, and she was on these real heavy drugs. And psychotic, that's right, psychotic drugs. And because she was psychotic, obviously. Anyway, she looked it too. She was in a bad way. And very depressed person, and didn't look slow, but looked like she had problems, you know. And I said to her, I felt the Holy Ghost come on me. I said, listen, lady, we're having revival meetings every night of the week for a while. I want you to come every night, and I'll lay hands on you, and you're going to be out. You're going to do a lot of carpet time. You're going to be on the carpet. And I said, God's going to totally heal you. Because she wanted to come off the psychotic drugs, but that's impossible once you're on them. You've got to stay on them. And I said, the Holy Ghost will take care of that. Don't do anything until he touches you. And so anyway, she just would come every night, and about halfway through the preaching, I'd call her out, lay hands on her, she'd fall under the power of God. And she would laugh and shake most night for hours, just laugh and shake. And I noticed each night she was looking lighter in her spirit and lighter in her face. Cut a long story short, she was told she'd be on these drugs for life. 4 days of that, she just said, blow this. I'm getting off these things. I'm healed. She came off them with no side effects and is completely whole in her right mind to this day just by being under the power of God. See, it's Holy Ghost chemotherapy. I've seen many people healed of cancer. When they come out the front, I say, let the Holy Ghost chemotherapy come on you. And they've just soaked in the presence of God and soaked. And they've gone back to their doctors or specialists a couple of weeks later and totally healed. See, sometimes God gives me words of knowledge and I'll just get people's conditions. It may happen tonight, it may not. I don't force anything, whatever the Lord wants. But a lot of times I see just as many people healed by seeing the anointing on them. That's how I get it. I just see like a heat wave on people. I call them out. And I don't know what God's doing, but he's doing 101 different things in them. He's healing them, setting them free, putting purpose in them. You see, I was brought to Jesus and I was against the Holy Spirit. I was against falling under the power of God. I was against even people clapping in churches. I was raised up a Pentecostal holiness, and so it was a lot of rubbish, I thought. But a man of God called me out the front one day, and I just said to God, oh God, because many men of God had tried, and I used to stand like this. You're not going to get me down, guys. And I used to feel the power of God come on me. I thought, nah, I ain't going down. Not for you or anybody. My problem was with God, not with them. But anyway, this man of God came out, laid hands on me, and I hit the deck. And there was no catcher because they weren't expecting me to fall down because they all knew I was against it. I was in Bible school at the time, 1978. And the power of God hits me. And I just thought I fell onto a pillow. And I thought two people helped me down. They said, no, you hit that old wooden dance floor, bang, we thought you'd knocked yourself out. You just lay motionless for 40 minutes. But I'll tell you something, my prayer life, I was very heavy into martial arts. I'd just come back to God. I was a pastor's kid, so I went rebelled for a while, which is very unusual for pastor's kids to do, hey, you know. And I rebelled. My grandfather was a very well-known pastor and healing evangelist in England. And my father, very much of an apostolic church planting ministry in Australia, planted many successful churches. So I came from good stock, spiritually. But anyway, I was there and... what the heck am I talking about? I've forgotten. Huh? I must be getting our son. I know, I was just testing you, see if you're listening. No, I forgot. Looked at my beautiful wife and I thought, oof. That's right. And so my first year first day in Bible school, there was this champion boxer and I was just, we was 150 full-time students. We're all at about 10 round each table and we're all eating our breakfast. And I just go like this and the guy behind me grabs my arm and puts it out. That's it. That's all it needed to snap my temper. I just jumped up and king hit him right across the table. Of course, he was a champion boxer. He's tried to hit me back, so I sidekicked him. Bang. I was a lot fitter in those days. And I was, and then I grabbed him by the throat and I was dragging him outside. I said, I'm going to punch the crap out of you, man. Excuse me, but that's what I was going to do. And then a student ran up to me and said, Steve, you're in Bible college. But yeah, I am. Sorry. So I ended up becoming good friends with that guy. Then the next day, we had all the martial arts guys, and I said, let's see who's the best, because I wouldn't be beaten by anybody. So we completely demolished the third year lecture room with, you know, kicking and someone would duck and you put your foot straight through the boards and things like that. We wrecked the whole place, but I won. I was the last one standing, so I was very happy. And mind you, the rest of them were three-year-olds, so it was very easy. So I had this mentality. I was very much of a fighter. I was the sort of person, if you're sitting next to me at a restaurant, I didn't like your conversation, you're bothering me, I'd say, excuse me, so would you shut up, or so I'll make you shut up. So I had this huge chip on my shoulder. But anyway, I come out the front with all this attitude. I got bang under the power of God. I don't know why I'm in college. I just come back to the Lord. But I didn't pray. I hardly read my Bible. Maybe prayed 2 minutes a day. I have this experience with God. And God speaks to me on the floor and says, if you'll just submit to me, son, he said, I will take you to the nations with my saving and healing and revival power. And he says, it will start immediately. All your other friends and students will be going on what they call trek ministry. Churches would open up and you'd learn how to preach. He said, but you're going to be invited to do full-blown crusades, which is going to cause a lot of controversy and people will be jealous of you here. But if you keep your heart on me, I'm going to raise you up very quickly. And so anyway, immediately my prayer life went to 3 hours a day. And how do you pray 3 hours a day? I never said one word. I was just in silence. I could not pray. Every time I pray, the presence of God would lift off me. As soon as I just wait on him, the power of God had hit me, and I followed a glory cloud that was traveling through the heavenlies 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then God would take my spirit out of heaven and take my spirit out of my body and take me to heaven. Then once he took me to hell and showed me all the different compartments, and I was there because I looked up and saw my body still lying on the bed, so the back of me. And I've had some incredible experience. Jesus has appeared to me at least 3 or 4 different times. And the angels, they taught me how to worship God. I'm not being spooky. They taught me, I heard them singing for about 18 months straight. And they don't play musical instruments, of course, but their voices play. And I just follow them. That's why in my meetings, I always get the sound of heaven going. And people usually experience a measure of the glory of God, sometimes a lot stronger than others, because of that experience. Doesn't matter what song I play, you ask the musicians, it'll be very similar chord progression in all of them. Because that's the sound I heard. Doesn't mean it's the only sound. You guys have got a sound of heaven here, but it's totally different to my style, but it's anointed and it's good. You just got to follow what God puts in your heart and be open to everything else that God does. And I'll tell you, it's very, very real God. Then I went to 5 hours waiting on God in silence every day. Now, that's impossible to do that. I wouldn't recommend anybody to try silent. God wants noise. He wants us to talk. But this was a specific thing I was going through. Then he'd take me out of my body and take me into the realms of the Spirit. And he'd give me different understandings of different anointings and show me all the different ascension giftings and the spiritual gifts and the different sensations that would come upon me. And when I started to do these crusades, I'd feel this fire come in my hands. And I knew that was the power of God to impart to people. Then I'd feel this warm, oily feeling. I'm going to look and my hands would drip with oil, supernaturally. I knew that was a healing anointing. And everyone I laid hands on would be healed. Then the fire of God would hit my belly so much, I feel like I was on fire. I knew that was the time to prophesy. It was the prophetic mantle. Then I'd get this sending blueprint, knowing where churches were at. I knew that was the apostolic anointing. Now, I'm not all those things. God just exposed me and let me see them each one so he could give me an understanding so I could work with these people later on. Very, very real. I've had very, very, very high success in the spirit, and I've had miserable failures in my life too. Not always easy. When you want to be a revivalist, friends, you're out there alone. You might say, well, you're talking to crowds of people. Yeah, I do all over the planet. But I'll tell you, there's many, many, many times. Doesn't bother me, I'm used to this. Many, many, many times. You've just got to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. It really is. Well, fill them all, Lord Jesus. Oh, you laughter freaks wrecking my meeting. It's breaking out tonight. It's wonderful seeing young people touched with the power of God. Now, can you all hear me all right out there? Can you understand my language? I'm really Chinese, but I put on an Australian accent just for you. So good to be here. So we're here tomorrow morning. We're here Sunday night at 6:30, Tuesday and Wednesday at 6:30, and Friday and Saturday. And then it's up to Vaughan, the lead pastor here, and the leaders here, if they want to keep it going after that. But you know, do your best to come along. If you can't make it, get on the phone and invite people, because they won't be disappointed. Unless they're religious, they won't like it. But people who are hungry for God, people who've got needs that really need meeting, they won't be disappointed, because it's not about a man, it's about Jesus. It really is. Well, listen, we're going to receive a offering for our ministry tonight, and we just are a faith ministry. We don't hold secular jobs and then go around as well. The Lord told me to do it this way years ago. I said, what do you do? He says, don't put any demands on churches. Just receive love offerings and I'll take care of you. And that's what he's done. But I just want to inspire you with something here. If you've got your Bibles in Judges chapter 1, because we're living in a time where the economy worldwide isn't the best, but that does not affect the kingdom of God if you live by godly principles. I wouldn't care if your country went into a recession. That will not affect you as people of God. In fact, you'll shine more, and people will be coming to you saying, how come you're still earning all this money? What's going on here? You live by kingdom principles. Don't let the fear of the world system get into you. Oh, my job. Listen, people in the kingdom of God are the most creative. And this is what's going to happen. This is what the Lord showed me is going to happen in these last days. And I'm obviously not the only one that's got this revelation. But in Judges chapter 1, it says in verse 12, and Caleb said, I will give my daughter Asa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Giriath-Sephar. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Asa to him in marriage. They've got incredible names. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked his daughter, what can I do for you? Which that's what a father does. You know, a father, if you've got a son or a daughter and they come to you, it's very normal because of your love for your son, your daughter, to say, what can I do for you? And did you know that's exactly what our Heavenly Father is like with us? He really is he's not standing up there who's got a whip in his hand, and if you do something wrong, he's going to whip you. That's Pentecostal holiness. In fact, it's not even Pentecostal holiness. It's junk. It's rubbish. And that's why people have been abused by fathers. They find it hard to, they understand about Jesus and they can receive the Holy Spirit, but start talking about the father heart of God, they get a bit uncomfortable, because their only role model for a father is someone that, whether they did something right or wrong, they were whacked. They were hit. They were hurt. But the whole thing is this, friends, that our Father God, did you know that before there was one Christian on planet Earth, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. We seem to think that we're his favorites just because we're Christians. He loves the most perverted person who's struggling in life. He hates their sin, but he loves them. In fact, Corinthians tells me we're not supposed to have a gospel that goes around bashing people over the head with the Bible. We're supposed to be going around to people and saying, did you know God does not hold your sin against you? I personally believe that every person on planet Earth is a child of God. But for them to receive the benefits, they've got to give their life to Jesus Christ. In fact, if you read a scripture in Revelations, it says, we talk about, when you come to Jesus, your names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Really? Check the Word of God. It says that everybody's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but the ones that don't receive Christ, their names are blotted out. That makes sense, because God says in other parts of His Word, He's not willing that any man, any woman, anybody should perish, for all to receive Him. His heart is for everybody, friends. That's why with your shortcomings and my shortcomings, you don't get God disillusioned. God doesn't get disillusioned about anything, because He doesn't have any illusions about anybody to get disillusioned, because He knows we're men, He knows we're women, He knows we're frail. If you've committed some sort of sin and you're trying to get back on track. Well, if you're in a push bike race and you get a flat tire, you get off the track and you just fix your puncture and you don't go back to starting point. You get back where you left and keep going and finish the race. But church and religion has taught us, no, you sin. You've got to sit in the back of the church. You've got to sign a 5-year contract to be a good boy. And then we might restore you to being a deacon when you're once a powerful preacher. Nonsense we go on with in church life. Everybody's trying to protect their own butt. I'm telling you, once you come back to Jesus Christ, you should be fully reinstated into your prior thing you had before you fell. Oh, I don't believe in that, brother. I don't care what you believe. Look at the Word of God. Look at God's Word. That's what we live by, friends. Religion's hurt a lot of people. Here I am talking about something so serious and people are laughing. But I understand it's the Holy Ghost. It's all right. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with the offering teachings. Let's get back to it. What can I do for you? And she replied, do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. That's what his daughter asked her father Caleb for. Then Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. That is prophetically very, very important for us to understand. Because in this day of economic crisis, where even the church can let fear come on it and people start not buying or not sell, you know, they just tighten up and they freeze all their funds and all, you know, because they don't want to lose everything. We shouldn't live like that. In economy crisis, we should be the biggest givers. Not kissing our brains goodbye, being good stewards, being sensible, but having a heart of giving to our local churches first and into then visiting ministries. He gave her the upper and lower springs. What is prophetically that got to do with us today? You see, the upper springs, that was up on a mountain where there were springs of clean, fresh water up, and then on the ground, there was the lower springs. The upper springs, friend, speak of prosperity, speaks of revival power, I should say, speaks of the power of God, because, you know, it's from heaven, it's from on high. And the Bible says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. So before Christ returns, there's going to be a mass revival that's going to sweep the world. At the moment, we've had pockets of revival here and there and there. But now it's getting stronger. Lakeland, if it had kept going, would have touched the world because it already was touching the world. But that's just a taste what God was giving people. There's going to be a revival hit, but it's not just going to be the big evangelists being used. It's going to be the prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, equipping and training the people with a revival spirit for you to go into the marketplace and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper and go out there and be creative, some of you, and make lots of money for the kingdom of God. You see, that's what the upper springs talk about. It talks about revival power. What does the lower springs talk about? The lower springs talk about earth. It talks about material possessions and things and money. The Bible says that the wealth of the heathen is stored up for the righteous. Now we've got to start believing this sort of thing because we are in the end times. Peter thought that he was in the end times 2,000 years ago. Paul preached like Jesus was coming back in his day. So if they thought they were in the end times, we're in the end of the end times. We still don't know how much time we've got to go. Could be 50 years, could be 5 minutes, who knows? We just got to occupy until he comes. But the upper springs, we need to get into the power of God. We need to get into that revival flow. We need to get into the river of God and let it flow through us. But then the lower springs is talking about people coming into financial prosperity. Because the revival that's going to hit this world, how many of you know the church is going to have to be financially prosperous to send the missionaries and the ministry teams to the places where God sends them? How long have we seen missionaries who serve their heart in a mission field and they come back on furlough? But the 4 weeks they spend on furlough, it's going around to each church trying to raise a little bit more money just to survive for the next 3 years on the mission field. What a slap in the face of Jesus Christ. It's not the way it's meant to be. There's meant to be such an abundant harvest in local churches that they're missionaries. They come home and they're given 5-star hotels and a holiday and looked after well because of the dirt and stuff they're having to face every day of their life on a foreign mission field. They should be looked after. not given tuppence and second-hand clothing. I know missionaries that are sent over second-hand tea bags. Second-hand clothing with holes in them. Wow. If that's all you can do for a missionary, well, keep it. Don't degrade them. And we think we're doing it. No, friends. There's nothing wrong with wearing second-hand clothing, but let's make it be good. Let it be good. Give them the best. Because we've had that poverty mentality. But I'm telling you, the power of God is going to rise with finance, because you can't have revival without it, friends. I've got a lot of vision in my heart, and I've seen tens of thousands of people come to Jesus around this planet, and I've seen hundreds of thousands healed and touched like this. But it took somebody to put money into the ministry to take us to the next place and the next place and the next place and the next place. How many men of God do I hear who've got great visions? And every one of them will say, but I can't do it because I haven't got any money. Think of the dreams in your heart right now, friends, whether it's for missions or whether it's just for business. Whatever you, what is holding you back from becoming and doing what you want to do in God? It's money. And if you don't tell me that, then you're lying. It's money holds us back. But when we start to get into revival flow, God begins to touch the hearts of people, which releases their wallets. We're going to have it. I've said to God, I want humongous amounts of money coming into my church, coming into my ministry. I'm not pastoring now. It's full-time ministry. But you see, it's not just so I can have the best. I want to have loads of money so I can write out checks to people and say, what's your phone bill this week? What's your electricity bill? What do you need? I want lots of money so pastors that are struggling, who are good men, I can invite them to revivals like this and put them up in a nice hotel and pay all their expenses. Be able to give to the poor. That's why I want money. And that's why you should want money too. That's what it's all about, friends. I'm telling you. In these end times, you watch this come to pass. The upper revival power will begin to mix with the presence and prosperity of God. And we'll see a great thing happen. So just keep that in mind. Anyway, at the end of the day, as you give tonight, if you feel to give tonight, just give. Just everybody just bow your heads in prayer for a minute. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to give tonight? Don't worry about what's in your pocket. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And give with the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's giving in His kingdom. And you see, when you're giving to a man or woman of God or a minister or a church, you're not really giving to that church. You're giving it to Jesus. And He blesses you when you give with that attitude. A lot of people don't like offering teachings. At least I only go for 15 minutes with them. You know why people don't like offering teachings? Because they're basically stingers. That's really why. I want the healing power. I'll sit and listen to you all night about the healing power. I want some of that joy. But money, yeah, you're always after money. No, I'm after God's kingdom prospering. So anyway, bless you. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. Just touch these wonderful people. And I just pray that they'll just ask you what to give. And if they've got nothing to give, that's okay, God. I don't know anyway. So let everybody just relax. And Father, I just thank you. You know our needs, you know the needs of the ministry, you know what we need to get to new places. But that's okay, Father. You also know these wonderful people's needs. Bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. If you're going to write out checks, sorry, I should have said this. Just hang on a minute. Just hold the offering. If you're going to write out checks, just write them out to the Vineyard Church, and then they'll just give me one check when we go from here, whenever that is. You know, so bless you as you give. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus,
If I could have a bit of reverb on it, it'd be great. You're the sweetest name of all, Jesus. You always hear me when I call, oh Jesus. You pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all, oh Jesus. You always hear me when I call, oh Jesus. You pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. Why don't you sing it with me just one time through? Jesus, you're the sweetest name of all. Oh Jesus, you always hear me when I call. Always hear me when I call. Oh Jesus, you pick me up each time I fall. Pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. You're the sweetest name of all. Thank you.
Here we go. If you've got your Bible, just turn to Exodus chapter 13. You know, there's a price to revival. You know, it's. I was just waiting on God this afternoon, and I felt Him really began to stir me about staying here and putting on extended meetings. Now, that might not mean much to you guys, but to me, and to us as a family, that's a big price to pay, because we're supposed to be in Atlanta in a big crusade that's been organized and airfares paid for and advertised next weekend. So I've got the nice duty tomorrow of ringing them and saying, I won't be here. I'm in Kingston, whatever you call it. Yeah. But you see, it's not about position and authority and niceties. It would do my ministry in America very good to go to this church. It's an influential church. But that doesn't matter. It's about having a hunger of God. And where there's hungry people, I just am absolutely convinced revival is going to break out. So whether Tuesday night, Wednesday night is packed out or not, makes no difference to me. What it does, it creates that presence of God, that atmosphere that will begin to bring the crowds in of people. So you need to really take it seriously. It's not about coming to hear a speaker. We'd probably all be rather doing something else this weekend. Tonight, we'd probably rather be out with our families or having a nice dinner or watching a movie together. You know, but we've taken time aside, and there's a lot of hungry people. I mean, just look around on a Saturday night. There's a lot of hungry people here. There's obviously a local congregation here, but there's a lot of visitors here tonight. And you're here because you're hungering for God, and I'm telling you, He's not going to disappoint you. The Northeast, is that what you call it up here, Northeast? It hasn't had a revival for a lot of years. I don't know if Kingston's ever had a revival. I know Elmira just down the road has. I know many towns around this place under guys like Charles Finney and Billy Sunday have had great revivals many years ago. But you see, God was one, and it would be just like God. That's why we're calling this day 12. God used Roy to start this revival, and it's continuing on. It's not now day number 2, it's day 12. And so we've got to get that into our heads, you know, and think, right, Lord, what's going to happen now? Where's this taking us? Where it will take us is changing the whole atmosphere of your city. And if there is demonic activity here, and if there's a lot of depression, and if there's a lot of funny people with funny, excuse me, you should have brought umbrellas at the front row. I spit a lot. Mind you, Jesus used to spit on people too. So just pray for Atlanta Church that they'll receive the news, okay? That's too bad if they don't. But you know, you got a heart for people, they're expecting us, and we'll just have to postpone it till, right, the problem is with these sort of meetings, I can't say postpone it till the week after or 2 weeks, you just don't know what's going to happen. That's why dear pastor's wife here, she meant what she said. The whole church has been turned upside down, their programs are all everywhere. And then I get the leadership team in just before the meeting and say, this is what I feel God's saying, but I'm submitted to this leadership team. You have to make the decision whether the revival goes on. This is what I'm feeling. And they all felt the same way. That's a lot of pressure. Somebody's got to come here for practice. And these musicians just don't get up here and just do their thing. And there's a lot of practice. There's people who are bringing in food. There's people here who are opening up this building and heating it up, ready for you all to come. There's car park attendants or people welcoming you at the door. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And it's interrupting people's busy schedules, but who are prepared to say, we want revival. So we're human beings. No matter how much I talk and talk to them black and blue in the face, you'll only pick the meetings you want to come to. And that's fair enough. Don't worry about it. That's fine. But if you can, come back on Sunday morning. Well, some of you, a lot of you will be in your own church on Sunday morning. You're not going anywhere. Come to this church. This is a great church. It's got a great vision. It's a catalyst church. It's not the only church, but it's the catalyst church in this area that's going to usher in a great revival that if pastors are smart, they'll get on board with this because it'll hit your churches too. Good to see our brother here. Just stand up, brother. He pastors a church somewhere in the area. Good to see you. Is there any more pastors or leaders from other churches here? Would you just lift your hand? Would you just like to stand? Where are you from, bro? What? Wonderful. Thank you for coming tonight. How many of you are visitors here and you're not from this church? Just lift your hands. That half of you? Now, I'm telling you, that's a very good sign. That's the signs of the beginning of revival. I've done a lot of these sort of things, and it's amazing that when you do a revival, if you go to a church of 100, 200, you might only get 30, 40, or 50 people attending from the actual church, but the place is filled with many other people from other churches. Don't be discouraged with that. That's, for whatever reason, that's normal in revivals. Because why? God's wanting to touch a whole city. You know? And our brother here under Roy's ministry, why don't you just come and say what you did when you were here last Saturday night and you took it back to your church and had a great move of the Spirit. Just tell the people. Is there a mic around here? Just testify what God's doing here.
Praise be to God, everybody. I was working last Friday, and a sister had called me, and Bishop Cordo called me on Friday and said, brother, you got to get out there. So I said, okay. Friday I couldn't go because my daughter had a basketball. But I came here last Saturday night. I'm hungry for the Lord and whatever God was going to do. And I got blessed. The fire of God hit me. And I didn't leave. It was like 12:45 when I get home. And everybody knows me. By 10 o'clock, I'm shot anyway. But anyway, I was up till, 1:30. I got up like 6 o'clock in the morning. The Lord told me what to do. So before church even started, I told them about 10:45. I said, listen, I just put on a CD. And I just said, everybody just open your heart to Jesus. I said, because God's about to move in this place. And Roy said, just pour out what is given to you. And the fire of God came in that place. People got healed. People got delivered. And this was before we even had service. So whatever God has for us, that's what we're going to keep doing. I've been calling people, telling them, you got to come. You got to come. God is out there. Whatever you need, God is going to take care of it. I truly believe that. Amen.
One of them. As the meetings go on, we'll have more and more people just testifying what God's doing. Because you never know what God is doing until people get up and testify. And I'll tell you something. When a man gets up and testifies where the fire of God hit him, when you testify, that spirit of that testimony comes in the place. I mean, the spirit from God, the Holy Spirit. It's going to be one of those nights. I remember one of my churches, the power of God hit like this, and week after week, and it was a while ago, 1993 or something, and I never heard of Rodney Ad Brown in those days, and all I know is that people, we were, We had our church had grown. It was only about 5 months old, but it had grown from nothing to a very big church, a couple of hundred, just a few short months. And God had blessed us. You would have thought if you went to the church, it was 20 years old because of the quality of people and the musicians and deacons and elders. God raised that church up very quick. But I remember one of my elders was sitting on the third row, and the power of God in worship hits him, and I'm on the platform, and I saw him. It would have had to have been three guys to do it in the natural, to throw him. He just supernaturally, without a run-up, just went boom, and like in slow motion, somersaulted over the three rows, landed on his feet and started rolling, then just got up and stood there like that for over an hour. He was just transfixed in the spirit. And then everybody started laughing uncontrollably. And that was it. I forgot the tape of the month because all you heard was people laughing. It's like being in a cattle range or something. Everyone cackling on, and I thought, that wrecked my tape ministry. I didn't care. We saw revival break out. Then I got a hold of Ronnie Ab Brown, what was heard of in Australia. And I thought, wow, because we were the only church it was hitting at the time in my city in Perth. And it was week after week, month after month. Then I found out it was breaking out here in America around about the same time. And so that encouraged me a lot. And I learned a lot through his ministry. And that was great. But anyway, what's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of these meetings? What's the purpose of revival? Well, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, and I'll read from the Amplified Bible because it sounds louder. And it just brings it out more clear. It says in Exodus 33, 21 and 22, "Then the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." And you know, when I look at that, all that comes to my heart and spirit is it's all about Jesus. And that verse, or those verses 21 and 22, clearly shows it's all about God, it's all about Jesus. Because notice that it's very clear that the Word of God says the Lord went before them in the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. And what happens is that the big deal wasn't the cloud or the fire, it's who the cloud and fire represented. And as long as we know why the cloud and the glory and the fire of God is hitting us, as long as we know who's it representing, what's it all about, if we realize that it's all about Jesus, then we don't get caught up with a manifestation. We don't get caught up with a joy. Let the joy happen. Let the fire of God hit the place. However he wants to do it, let him do it. But really, that's not the big deal. The big deal is, have we got our eyes and our hearts on Jesus? Is it causing us to become like Christ? Is it causing us to want to tell other people about Jesus? Is it causing us to fall in love with the Word of God again? Is it refreshing us and getting us filled with the power of God? That's what it's all about, friends. So the big deal isn't the cloud or the fire, the manifestation. It's who the cloud, the fire, the manifestation represents. So in other words, the big deal is not the manifestation, it's the person of Jesus Christ. But the main key in seeking and pursuing the presence of God is don't chase after the manifestations, chase after the giver of them all, Jesus. You see, when the fire of God hit Australia through the Toronto blessing, and pastors flew from all over the world and from our nation, and they went back to their own churches, they became laughing churches. They threw away all their teaching series, and pastors would get up on their platform, laugh and fall down drunk, and that was the service. Now, how many of you know that will wear thin after a couple of weeks? And nearly every church that went for that move of God in Australia, nearly every church didn't increase in numbers, they decreased. That's why many of the pastors after a year or so said, "I've had enough of this." And they changed and denied that it was a move of God, and they all became seeker-friendly churches. They went the other extreme. But our church capitalized on these moves of God. Our move had already started, but it capitalized on the moves of God through Rodney Ad Brown and Toronto and Pensacola. Because I used to teach this sort of stuff. I said, look, let's not focus on the manifestation. Let's embrace it. But let's see why God is giving us these manifestations. It's pointing us to Jesus. It's pointing us to Christ. Let him be the center of worship. Let him be the center of when you pray for it, it's all about him. And if he happens to touch you with fire, with laughter, with joy, with weeping, or you just sit there in his presence quietly, however it touches you, it's all about him. And friends, we'll never get into extreme if the whole thing's about him. That's why revivals come and go, because it becomes about the man or it becomes about the money. Because as revivals start to grow, then the pockets of the revivalists start to get bigger. And if it's in the blessing of God, that's wonderful. Everyone gets blessed out of it. But that's not the objective. It's falling in love with Jesus Christ. It's showing this world that Jesus really does live in people who are real people, who are everyday normal people, but they're not hypocrites. They're really living the life in Christ. The biggest way to bring unity in a city is not by having fraternal meetings. Paternal meet? I said it the wrong way. All pastors come together and meet. That's just a group of pastors meeting. Got nothing to do with unity. Nothing. Unity is unity in the Spirit. Unity is when the Holy Ghost comes and the whole city embraces it. And we fall in love with Jesus and we fall in love with one another. And we don't backbite and curse each other and knock each other anymore. We just accept our differences, love God and love people. That's what the Holy Ghost can do that. Why does God use laughter? Well, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The Bible says in the presence of God there is joy, fullness of joy. Well, I can have joy without laughing, brother. Oh, can you? Bit hard. I said last night, did you know over all your nation, people meet at lunchtime in businesses and they go out on a lawn or a park and they all force themselves to laugh, because it's a scientific fact that when you make yourself laugh, it actually releases endorphins into your bloodstream, through your bloodstream. It actually begins to heal arthritis and anything else in your body. Well, they should just go to the Word of God. It's been written there for thousands of years. Merry heart does good like a medicine. So people don't like laughter. Most of you are okay, but there was a few of you, what's this all about tonight? Well, get your eyes off the manifestation and put it on Jesus. It's funny, the same people who knock these type of meetings are the same people, if you're at a football match and your favorite football star kicks a goal, you'll be the first one up, yeah! But when you come to church, you're like you've been dipped in lemon juice, you know? It's true. Let's loosen up. Some people get more happy with their depression. I've come to church tonight, brother, and I'm totally depressed. So sad, really. So sad. Now, when this move of God first started hitting me, I didn't like it either, because it wrecked my meetings to start with. I lost a lot of friends through it. Some of my friends, we all had the big churches in Australia. They chose one way because this was a lot of rubbish. I continued it in what I knew was God, and I thought everybody would love me because of it. Now, the people hungry loved me because they knew that I was letting them come to God and express Him, and they weren't going to be hindered at all. But the majority, not the majority, a lot in the body of Christ did not like me. They're finding out everything they could about my past or whatever just to try and bring discredit to the ministry. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to get the fivefold ministry and knock them all. Boom. But you can't do that. You know, I wish we could, but we can't. The Bible says to love your enemies and to pray for them that persecute you. I prefer to give them a good old beating. That seemed to work better. But doesn't. There's a time to stand up and say something, but most of the time we've got to leave it to God and get on. What about David when they're saying, you can't take Zion. Even the blind and the lame can stop you from coming in. He just says, nevertheless, he went ahead and built the kingdom. Went and took Zion. Nevertheless, what about Saul when they said, you're not going to be king of Israel. You're going to be nothing. And the Bible says that Saul looked straight ahead and held his peace. Didn't even bother retaliating. Just he knew where he was going in God. He went off at the end in his kingship. But you know, he just knew who he was in God and kept going. That's what we got to do, friends. I mean, these young people are getting touched by God. I think it's marvelous. Better than getting hooked up in drugs. Better than getting hooked up in alcohol. When they're a bit older, they could smoke dope, they could take drugs, they could go to the pub and spend hundreds of dollars to get this sort of looseness. They get it all for free. And not only that, fall in love with Jesus at the same time. Let me say, it's not for this generation. I've seen more young people come to Jesus through Holy Ghost meetings like this. Hundreds of, probably thousands over the years. This only offends the religious. And there's not too many religious people in here tonight. Some have packed up and gone home, but that's all right. We just love them. But you're all hungry for God. And even though there might be things happening that you don't really like, because it's different to your personality and what you're used to, you're here because you hunger for God and say, well, God, I'm not going to debate, because what you're battling with is your theology. What you're battling is what you've been taught in your Christian life. And if you're taught that this is extreme and it's emotionalism, well, even though you're hungry and open, your mind's still going to battle with it. Put your mind into neutral and go down here in your spirit, because that's where the kingdom of God is, and ask the Holy Ghost, is it right? I've had atheists come to my meetings. I said, every atheist in here, stand up. I said, we'll soon see. You say there's no God? I said, I challenge you all to come to the front, and before you get to the front, you're going to fall under the power of God. This force is going to get a hold of you and going to knock you straight down. And I'm going to stay on the platform so you can't say I pushed you. Say these smug atheists walked out the front trying to show me up. They hit the front row. One of them fell straight on one of the pastors at the front row. Bang. And the other two fell on each other. Bang. And when they came out of it, one of them just ran. Said, I know it's real, but I'm not ready for this, and ran out the building. I said, well, you're not much of an atheist now, you idiot. I've had witches come to my meetings with all their hexes and hoods. I go up to them and say, welcome here tonight. How you going? Thank you so much for coming. You're trying to hex me, aren't you? They go, oh, yeah. I said, keep going. It won't work. I've got the power of the blood and the power of the anointing all over me. I said, in fact, come out the front now. You lay hands on me, and I'll lay hands on you, and the true God will be the one. If you're the, you'll hit the deck first. That's the true God. So they'd lay hands on me and nothing had happened. I'd lay hands on them and down they'd go, bang. You gotta be bold. I started a church once. I want to do something different, God. He said, well, put an ad in the paper challenging all the young people on drugs and tell them to come to church Sunday nights. And if they don't get a greater high when you lay hands on them, then promise them you'll go out and buy all the drugs they want. That's a pretty big thing. That's a bit radical. So I didn't tell my elders. I just went ahead and did it. Well, they came and joined the church. That's their problem. So we had 40 young people show up coming to get their drugs. And when they all came, I said, oh, you're already responding to that. I said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you something. The condition is you've got to stay in the worship, you've got to sit there while I preach, and then I'm going to have an altar call and explain what that meant. You're going to come to the front, I'm going to line you all up in a straight line, and the power of God's going to hit you. And if he doesn't hit any of you, and you don't get a greater high than the highest time you've been on any drug, I'll go out and buy all the drugs you want. So at the end of the meeting, they all line up, and I'm thinking, God, you better come through for me now. For a split second, I lost faith. I felt like the biggest idiot. I thought, no, no. Not only that, it's only a young church, even though there's hundreds there. I probably would have lost most of them. And so I said, oh, well, God, you told me to do it. And I said, even if you didn't, you better back me up. I thought. So I just began to walk past each one of them and lay my hands lightly on the back of their head and say, somebody didn't have to touch. I said, touch them with your fire, Jesus. And now they all started going, bang, bang, bang. These are totally unchurched people, friends. Most of them never been in church before. And after about 10 minutes, I could hear them on the floor talking to each other saying, wow, I've never had a high like this, man. and just think it's free. We'll get all our friends to come back here next week. So we baptized about 80 of them that month. Just through being radical like that. Now, I don't suggest you do that unless the Holy Ghost tells you to. But I've done that in a couple of places. You've got to challenge people in the power of God, friends. You know, some people say, you want to come to Jesus? No, I'm not ready. Why aren't you ready? I said, you know, you've only got 70, 80, 90 years on planet Earth. Let's say 100 years. And in view of eternity, there's no starting point with eternity. But if eternity started here and goes on forever, your little thing called life is a little speck that people wouldn't even see called 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Are you going to waste your time and do what you want to do and live a godless life or half in the church, half in God and half not, and then miss out on eternity? Because whether you like it or not, we're all eternal beings. You're either going to choose to spend your time in heaven or you're going to go on into eternity with the devil. Why would a God of love send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. How many of you realize that hell was never created for people? It was created for the devil and his angels. But through the fall of Adam and Eve, he became the God of this world. We received the same punishment. That's why Christ came back as the second Adam to redeem us from all that sort of stuff, to guarantee us of a great abundant life down here, not guaranteeing us no problems, but a life full of peace and joy and righteousness in him and guaranteed of eternity with him. I'm telling you, friends. There are people here you need to know. Jesus Christ loves you. You all feel like Christians in here tonight, but I feel just to make an appeal for the unsaved right now in the meeting. But you know, if you're in the... I'm going to talk to three different groups of people. One group is if you've never come to Jesus Christ, you've never received him into your heart, you need to consider it and give your life to him. Because his Aunt Deja can mess around. I say, well, I don't believe in hell. You will when you get there. I'm already living in hell with my life, but it's only going to get worse for you. But the good news is, Jesus died on a cross because he loves you so much. And you're already his child, actually. And he doesn't even hold your sin against you. But he wants you to come and receive the benefit of the kingdom of God and the benefit of the gospel by coming to Jesus. It's the only way in. There's only one way to the Father. New Age teaches you, as long as you go to a higher power, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a doorknob or whether it's Mohammedism or whether it's Mormonism, doesn't matter as long as you devote yourself. No, Jesus says there's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way. No other way. I don't care what religion teaches or New Age teaches, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. So if you haven't given your life to Christ, you really need to tonight. You really need to say, I've got to come to Jesus Christ. I really have. I really, really have. Just close your eyes for a minute. If everybody, just in respect to people, I want people who've never given your life to Jesus Christ, because you never know. You all look like Christians to me. But there might be just one or two, might be more. But is there anybody in here who's never given your life to Jesus Christ? Listen, I'm telling you something, friends. How do you know if you're not a Christian or not? If terrorists were to walk in here tonight, and if they were to come in here and say, we're going to just kill you, a lot of you. Now, in our society, it may never happen, but you know, this does happen in foreign countries. This has happened in foreign countries. They don't like you. They hear you're Christians. They hear you worshiping God. They come in and just gun the lot of you down. None of us here would like to go that way because we've got life to live. But how many of us would know that if we were shot and killed right here tonight, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we'd be in heaven with Christ just like that in the twinkling of an eye. Boom. If you haven't got that assurance, friends, I don't care how nice a person you are not born again. Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost gives us that assurance. None of us would like to live our life now. Lose it. Or if you were to go out of this meeting and get knocked over, that'd be a horrible thing to happen. Pray it never will happen to you. But if it did, would you know that even though your life had been cut short, you're in heaven straight away? If you haven't got that assurance, friend, I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you believe in God. I don't care if you're from the Catholic religion or any other religion. If you haven't got that assurance in your heart, only Jesus can give it. If there's anybody here who's never given your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to slip up your hand right now and say, Steve, I want to come to Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand there. It's wonderful. Is there anybody else? Join this young lady. You haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. You need to. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to say, Lord, I want to come to you. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving here. I know there's not a lot of unsaved in here tonight, but I did feel that tug of the Holy Ghost. Thank God one's responded. Anybody else who wants to come to Jesus Christ, you have not got that assurance in your heart, just slip up your hand right now and say, Steve, please pray for me. I want to come to Christ. I see your hand there, lady. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Don't be ashamed. This is the greatest thing. You're not in a room full of unbelievers. You're doing it in front of 99% of people who love Christ. To people who have responded to come to Jesus Christ to give your life to him. Is there anybody else? Please, while the Holy Ghost is moving here, just slip up your hand high enough so I can see it. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Slip up that hand and say, yeah, I want that assurance. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ tonight. I'm going to live for him. Okay. I want to speak to a second group of people. People who have given your life to Jesus at some point, but now you're backslidden. And by that I mean you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It might be manifesting in lust, it might be manifesting in pornography, it might be manifesting in just plain bad attitudes. But you know, you just it feels like you're not even a Christian. That's how far you're backslidden. But you want to say to God tonight, I want to come back to you, God. I just want to come back. I know I've been backslidden. I know I need to fully commit myself to you again, Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in here who's been backslidden and you want to say, Steve, I want to come full on for God again now? Would you just lift up your hand right now? Come on all over the place. Yeah, see that hand? Come on, there's more people in here. You've been backslidden and you want to come back to Jesus Christ. I want to come back to Jesus Christ. I've been backslidden in my heart. You slip up that hand high enough so I can see it. We've had one or two respond to this call. There's a third group of people I want to talk to. And that is people. If you've lifted your hand for the first two questions, keep your hand down. But the third group of people is you're just plain not sure. Your people have been in church most of your life, or you come and go as you feel. But you're thinking to yourself, I know I'm just not sure, you know. I thought I was saved. I thought I was born again. But, you know, and that's why I didn't respond to the first question that, are you sure? No, I'm not really sure, but I've been in church and I've been a Christian. You know, at this point, in various parts of the world, I've seen elders and pastors come to Jesus Christ because under the conviction power of the Holy Ghost, they realized they weren't sure of their salvation. You'd find that hard to believe, wouldn't you? So do I. And when you talk to them, they struggled. They didn't really believe that God was there in eternity. Yet they preached it. It was a whole mess for them. So is there anybody here? You're just plain not sure. And you want to make sure of your salvation tonight. Just slip up your hand. Say, that's me. I want that assurance right now. Is there anybody there? So I knew there wouldn't be a lot of people there tonight. Oh, that's wonderful. Good on you. That's marvelous. But I just get that little tug. Sometimes in evangelistic campaigns, I get this feeling of a net being cast out of me and being drawn in. And a lot of people come to Christ. But you've still got to, even if you feel that little tug, three or four people responding doesn't seem much to us. But any one of those three or four people could be the next Billy Graham, could be the next Catherine Kuhlman, could be the next successful business person who invests millions of dollars into the kingdom of God to get the work done. He's a marvelous God. I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. Sometimes I do. A lot of times lately I don't. But for those who give their life to Jesus for the first time, there's a couple of you, make sure the person sitting next to you is a Christian. Ask them after the meeting, look, I'd like to know more about this. But I want you all, in fact, I'd like everybody to help the people who've responded to Christ tonight. I want you to help them just by simply praying with me, especially the ones who've responded tonight for any one of those calls that I made. Just make sure you speak out loud enough for yourselves to hear. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've forgiven me of all my sins. I receive you into my life right now. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for your cleansing blood. Help me to live for you from this night forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just like Vaughan said the other week, the last week, whenever it was, you know, about evangelism, he didn't want to get it so structured and organized. He wanted to build into our into people's lives where they just witness anywhere, anytime. But there is a need for organized evangelism to get people going. He wasn't against that. And it's the same with Christianity. We think that people won't really get saved as they come to the front. Did you know the altar calls only started under Charles Finney's ministry? In the New Testament, they never made altar calls. What they did was they'd be stopped preaching. What must we do to be saved? They'd stop the preacher. And once they committed themselves, they were immediately in home groups. They immediately were in the kingdom of God. And all I'm saying to you, friends, is it's all right to go out in the streets and lead people to Christ, but unless they're in church, it amounts to a hill of beans, really. I get tired of other evangelists speaking about all the big numbers they see getting saved on the streets, and I ask them questions. I say, look, you've got an incredible ministry, but are these people in churches the next week? Where are they? Are they being discipled? Well, no, that's the Holy Spirit's job. No, it's not. It's our job. He's told us to go and make disciples. So if you really meant business tonight, friends, if you're not in a church, then join this one and get to know the family of God and come under the teaching of the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to talk to somebody. It's not enough just to give your life to Jesus. You've got to follow it through and say, right, I'm committing my life to him now. That's what it's all about. Anyway, we've got that. Let's give Jesus a hand for these people, because that's wonderful. Just one other thing I really want to mention here. See, whenever the glory and the fire and the power of God showed up, friends, when the fire and the glory and power of God showed up, there's always life being added to people. There was always something significant that would happen. I mean, in 2 Chronicles 5:14, you'll read there that the priests went into the temple to perform their ministry, and it said the glory of God came in the temple so strong, they fell under the power of God. They couldn't stand a minister. And that's why in most revivals, there's lots of people falling under the power of God, getting mightily touched by God. Why does it happen that way? It's happened right from the book of Acts. Well, I don't see falling under the power in the Bible, brother. You must be blind, friend. It's all through the Word of God. All through it. In the Old Testament, they'd say things like, when I saw the angel of the Lord and when God showed up, I fell as a dead man at his feet. It didn't say I just gradually fell. It says I fell. That's all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when Jesus, everyone thought the power of God was off him, Judas went and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. You'll find it in John chapter 18. And we just think, like, we've seen the Passion of Christ, and it doesn't really truly depict Jesus. Some of the scenes were very biblical, but the amount of soldiers that came to get Jesus was only about 4 or 5 of them. The Bible says a multitude came to get him that night, because Judas betrayed him with a kiss with 30 pieces of silver before he betrayed him with a kiss. He then went and got the Roman battalion, the Bible says. The Roman battalion consisted of 600 men, and history proves that 300 of them would have been on duty that night. And it says he got the Roman battalion, they all came, those on duty, which would have been 300, plus chief scribes and elders. There would have been at least 500 people who came to get Jesus that night with swords, clubs, and lanterns. Obviously, it was nighttime. And it says that they said, "Where is Jesus?" And he said 3 words, "I am he." And the Bible says the whole multitude withdrew and fell to the ground. He had so much power upon him, when everybody thought he was this little wimp and he's going to get, he willingly gave his life for us. "I am he." And 500 people fell under the power of God. And then he let Judas betray him with a kiss. And then he let those people mock him and tear out his beard and put the crown of thorns on him and whip his back, put nails in him, put him on a cross. He willingly, at any time. That's a good question. Who was holding Jesus on the cross? The cross, or was Jesus holding the cross up? He died because he saw who for the joy set before him. What was his joy? He saw you and me and every other generation of people to be born. The power of God. I am he. Paul on the Damascus Road. It said he fell to the ground. What, did he trip over a rock? No, he fell under the power of God. It's a normal phenomena that was happening. I believe in it because that's how I came to Christ. I didn't believe in all that stuff either. I thought it was junk. Until God got a hold of my life, knocked me down. Is any wonder why majority of people I pray for fall under the power of God? Not because I push them or manipulate them to. The only reason I have catches is because in your nation, legally, I have to. It's true, or you can sue me. People come to meetings like this and fall down and say, oh, I've got a bad neck. They already have a bad neck and say it's when they fell to the ground. I've had evangelist friends of mine having to be insured for $5 million because they're getting sued all the time. Unbelievable. Americans are as bad as Australians. They're all sue crazy. Anything to earn a quick buck. It's true. So that's why we do it. When I go to South Africa, I don't care. Wave your hand and thousands go down. There's pileups of bodies like this everywhere. I was recently over there in Johannesburg and I was preaching at a conference and there's about 2,000 or 3,000 people there. And this was in a place called Bryanston in Johannesburg. And it was a very conservative church. And the people that came in from other churches were good people and hungry for God, but very conservative. It wasn't out in the sticks, out in the bush with Zulus who were very responsive to God. This was just white South African people and I got them all to stand. The power of God was starting to move, and I felt this electrical current start to go through this hand. I said, listen, folks, the electrical current, this power of God's come on my hand. I could feel it. And I said, who wants it? I said, I'm just going to wave my hand from this section to that, and if you'll receive it. And as I began to move my hand like that, thousands, hundreds of bodies just started falling down. And before long, the whole 2,500 people under the power of God. And there were pileups of bodies this high because people just didn't fall backwards. They were falling sideways, over chairs, through chairs, all the ones at the front falling on their faces. And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to be killed, some of these people. One guy was right at the bottom of 8 people on top of him. Not one person got hurt. And I thought, well, that's the end of the meeting now. There's nobody left. Everybody was down. The musicians, everybody. I was the only one standing. That's the truth. And I just said to... And then all of a sudden... This little girl, 8-year-old child, had these braces on. She hadn't been able to walk for whatever reason since she was born. And I could hear her saying to her dad, Jesus has just touched me on the head and told me he healed me. Get these things off me now. And so as the father was taking these things off, I was watching it. Her legs just suddenly went bang and straight. She took off, jumping over all the bodies. And nobody was clapping because they were all out to it. Then another woman suddenly jumps up and says, I can see, I can see. Totally healed of blindness. Another guy, quite a number of people started saying, I can hear, I can hear. All sorts of miracles started breaking out. And all I did was stand there and went like that. Nothing to do with doing. You can do that all day and nothing happens. It's to do with obedience to God. And I see a lot of spectacular miracles with the hand of the Lord doing things like that. And I'm going to believe we're going to start to see these sort of things in these meetings. It takes time to build up. It does. It takes time because people's faith begins to come. And the atmosphere of God, that's why it's so important to worship. That's why we spend an hour or two in worship. It's not so, you know, and we get tired. I get tired standing up there. My foot goes numb. So I have to pretend I'm spiritual and go like this, but really I'm going, oh, let this foot come back to life again. So I get off the piano every now and again. I mean, I'm worshiping God, but my jolly foot's gone to sleep. And just the hassles of being fat, I suppose, but I don't know. But what I'm saying is, but when I see and I feel the presence of God come in power, I think it's worth it all. It's worth it all when I see these young people getting touched, when I see other people getting touched, when the ground's already been paved through Roy's ministry, you know, and I honestly believe this revival is just going to go on, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Roy will come back this way again. And then just continued on with his ministry again. It's, God can bring anyone he likes in. Nobody's got rights over this, you know. It's just submitting to the local leadership and seeing where they want to take it. Because the authority of a local church is not the revivalist. I don't care if this breaks out and we have to have 5 meetings a day because there's so many thousands coming. I'm not the authority here. The local leaders of this church are the authority in this church. The highest authority in the local church is its leadership. not the great evangelist. That's why some evangelists have got no right to come in and dictate everything's ordering around what they want. The people, the pastors, the leadership are going to be left with this after. And so, you know, you've got to make it their job easy and have a submissive heart. They've given me freedom, and Vaughan, as a pastor, has given me freedom to be who I am. He trusts me. And so that's why the anointing's moving. It's not just because, the main thing is it's because Jesus is here. But it's because this thing's in authority. Even though the meetings might be wild and people are shouting and people get in touch with God, it's also because it's in the correct authority. And then that's a safeguard for anybody coming in. It's not a Steve Smith show, friends. We're just hungry people really wanting to see Jesus touch our city. And a lot of us are tired of religion. We're tired of just going to church, singing the same three fast songs, two slow songs. And apart from good music, nothing else is happening. I'm talking about every church around the area. People are sick of it. Do you know there's a phantom church in Australia? And I dare say you've got them here. But thousands of Christians no longer go to church because they've had a gut full of politics. They've had a gut full of religion. They've had a gut full of hypocrisy. And so they're hurting, but they're genuine people. They meet in home groups all over the place. They're tired of church. Boy, there's a harvest field just there. I guarantee you've got those sort of people all around this area. If you know them, get them in. Get them here. Get them touched by God. God needs people like that back in the church. Why does he need people like that in the church? Because Jesus, even imperfect as it is, has chosen his church to work through. He hasn't called parachurch organizers. He's called the church. We've messed it up, not him. And a good old-fashioned revival and Holy Ghost draino unblocks us from all that rubbish that gets inside of us, and we get on fire for God again. It's simple.
Yibbity up.
For my friends watching on webcam, I said, are you going to do your Porky Pig? I'm very good at doing impressions, but I won't do Porky Pig tonight. I once did a whole message in Porky Pig, didn't I? And the power of God hit the place. There was bodies everywhere under the power everywhere. The Lord spoke to me and said, speak in Porky Pig tonight. Now, listen, I'm a very sensible person, you know. I didn't have too much pizza. And I said, why? He said, because there's a lot of hard-hearted people here. But they all relate to Porky Pig. That's the truth. And I'm thinking, I thought I was going nuts. I would rather have done Mickey Mouse, but Porky Pig. So I just started speaking in Porky Pig. And that hardened church, those people suddenly started laughing and laughing and laughing. Then obviously I stopped it then and preached normally, you know, but God can use anything he wants. I was once leading worship in his church, as quite a big church. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm getting sick of people worshiping me religiously. I want people to worship me with freshness in spirit and in truth. He said, get up there and play singers a song. You're the piano man. I thought, what? So I get on the piano and everybody's thinking, wow, this is great. And I start again.
We're all in the mood for a melody. Sing us a song here tonight. Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
Hello. And everyone's getting up worshiping God. Until they realized what I was playing. And I said to them, you religious bigots, I said, you were worshiping God from your heart. He doesn't care whether you sing Mickey. Well, he does, but I was making a point. You know, the singing of the song of the piano man, you were singing it to Jesus until you realized the secular words you were singing. But the power of God was there, and everybody think, the power of God's here. How can we be singing that? The power of God's here. And that worship service, we stopped singing that and sang worship songs then, is the best one we had. The Lord said, break that religious spirit, because people come with a predictability of what's going to happen in a meeting. If you get a pastor, get out there and do Porky Pig for a minute, or I'm not suggesting you do that. But doing anything to break the religious rut we're in, it works. They don't try it without the anointing, because you look like the biggest idiot going. I think I've got an anointing to be an idiot, so I'm all right. You think I'm bad? Roy's worse than me. Maybe you'll be. He's not squeaky clean. He does ridiculous things. He throws CDs out and hits people in the head and breaks their... I said, that's all right. Next time, Roy, try throwing a brick out at him. See what happens then. What a marvelous God. Hey, listen, I've been going on a while, but don't worry. We'll be out of here a lot sooner than last week. Not that last week was bad. It was great. But I just haven't got the stamina to go after hour. So you're lucky. I've gone on too long. Usually my meetings are finished by 9:30. So, yeah, we won't be that far away. We'll put a fast anointing on. I just want to mention one more thing here about the glory and fire of God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 15, it says, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on their beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. And we always talk about Peter's shadow. You know, if you're standing in light, sunlight, or everyone has got a shadow. And I used to think, that sounds ridiculous, God. He must have had to wait till the sun was high enough and his shadow was that way. And so all the people who had their friends on, who are paralyzed and stretcher beds, oh, there's his shadow. See this guy here, I can see his shadow there. Then he moves his leg and his shadow will move. So all these people are crashing into each other, trying to find Peter's shadow. And I thought, it's got to be more than a shadow. What is it, God? And so I looked it up in the Strong Concordance, what the word shadow meant. That was a bright idea. And that word shadow, listen to this. It's a real revelation. That word shadow means to be enveloped in a haze of brilliance. What it means is, it wasn't a literal shadow that people were getting healed by. It was the glory and fire of God coming out of Peter's spirit. It was coming out of him and all around him in a haze of brilliance. And anybody who got caught up in the glory of God were instantly healed. And I thought, wow, that makes sense with all the other scriptures about the anointing of the glory and fire of God. Because whenever you see the fire of God, it's the glory of God. When you talk about the presence of God and the anointing, they're all synonymous terms for the presence of God. And that's why these meetings are so wonderful, because we can just push in to the presence of God. In any revival, you've still got to have normal meetings. I used to make Sunday morning my normal meetings. I say to the church, we're not having revival Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit can do it. We've got to be more pastoral. I'd usually let one of my pastors speak, because I'm not a pastor. For a while, I started to sit down on a stool and read my notes. And they said, oh, Steve, you're boring. My church used to tell me, they said, get back into the fire of God or sit down. Let one of the guys preach. I said, oh, fair enough. And so I used to just sit down. And people would, you know, because you've got to dedicate babies. You've got to be pastoral in a church. But the other meetings were anything goes. And they were the ones I came to life in. So most of the time, I booked myself out preaching on Sunday mornings. I just couldn't stand pastoral meetings driving at the wall, because I'm a revivalist. I want to see revival. But if I was smart, I wanted to build a revival in a local church, you've got to be normal as well. That's why Sunday mornings, if revival breaks out here, have some sort of normality. If Vaughan can be normal, I'm sure he can be. You've got to have that. Then everybody feels, oh, we can take the wild stuff. But gee, it was just nice to be patted on the back and just have nice pastoral things said. You got to have that. Even Rodney Howard Brown, he says that. He's probably one of the greatest revivals in this world today. And so we need to understand that, you know, you can build a great move of God in the meetings like this. People come from everywhere. But you can take it back to your churches. How sad it would be if it was just kept for tonight. A brother here gets up in his own church and bang, it breaks out there. We were just at a place a few weeks ago, and this couple came out, there was a lot of people touched, but this couple were mightily touched by God. Then they came back the next couple of nights later and said what happened when they went back to their local church that Sunday morning. The pastor was away, so the other elders got them up just to share, because they could see something different about them. They'd been touched with the glory of God. And this church didn't believe in falling down on the power, nothing. And they got up there and said, we were mightily touched by God. And people started getting up out of their seats saying, please pray for us. They're only up there giving a testimony. So they just started, they had bodies all over the place, all around them. People laughing, getting drunk in the Holy Ghost, and a church that didn't believe in it. And when the pastor got back from his holiday, he called him in the office and told him to leave the church. Because he said, I don't believe in this stuff. You wrecked it. I want you to leave. are these people men of God or are they people? I don't understand that at all. And they weren't taken over the church. They were asked by the leadership to give a testimony. But the power of God broke out. And that's the problem with revival. Some churches just don't want it. So what's going to happen in Kingston? I'm telling you this right now. Pastors, hopefully, they'll embrace it and their churches will be blessed out of it. If not, there'll be churches around here. They'll be having mass exoduses and they'll be coming into churches like this and like others that will embrace the move of God. Or you'll move the pastor on. And hopefully every pastor will embrace it because I want to be on the pastor's side because I know what it's like to be a pastor. But I also know that God thinks the only reason he's put a pastor in place is to equip and train and release people. And if pastors are going to get in the way and stop the revival, you'd be silly to stay in a church like that. Stupid. Because they're going to wreck your own relationship with Jesus. But hopefully the churches will embrace it. I believe that that's what happened. That's God's will. But if it doesn't, I'm telling you now, there'll be mass exoduses into churches like this and into other churches that will embrace it. And if that's God's will, well, so be it. But I can say that because I'm not a pastor here and I don't know any other pastor apart from this gentleman in the area. So I'm not picking on anybody as far as I know, and hopefully they're all open like him. What an amazing God. How about being enveloped in a haze of brilliant light? Jesus, an anointing here. Can you feel it? God. Whew. Just suddenly hit me. I don't joke around when I talk like this. I just felt this, just comes on. It's like a flood. You know, there's times that the Holy Spirit's a person. I feel his power a lot, but sometimes he comes on this side of me. And he stands on this side. He's just getting touched by it. And he comes on this side of me. And when I walk up the aisles, everybody falls down here. When I turn around, they'll fall down there. And that's the sort of feeling. I don't feel his presence. I feel his presence with him. I don't feel him personally with me on this side right now. But many crusades, I feel him. And I've seen the Holy Spirit. He's about 6 foot tall. Who does he look like? He looks a lot like Jesus. But there's only one God, yeah. But they proceed out of the Father. The Father's there, and out comes Jesus, and out comes the Holy Ghost, and they go into him and come out of him. Three distinct people, but one God. Hallelujah. Hard for our minds to fathom it out, but I've seen it. He took me to heaven, and I saw it, so it's easy for me to... And it's in the Word of God anyway. But there are realms. Why do I talk like this? To convince you I'm a man of God? No, to let you see, there are realms of glory out there we've never touched. A lot of my meetings, gold dust starts falling down everywhere. Especially people who are sick, suddenly they'll get covered in gold dust. You know, and there's nobody up there on the roof putting sprinkles on people, you know. Hasn't happened for a while, but I've got a feeling it's going to come back. Not bull dust, gold dust. My pastor, Clark Taylor, in his church, he'd open up your Bibles, you'd open up, there'd be manna from heaven in your Bibles. And it tasted like, I don't know what, just this sweet honey thing. It was incredible. See, God can do these people having a wonderful... You see, what's happening to these people at the front here? You know why it hits the people at the front? Because the anointing on the one who's preaching comes out. And they get caught up in it, so they respond easier. But you can have this sitting right here. You really can. In fact, if I'd have preached here all night, a lot of you would be cackling like hyenas now. Is it all about laughing? No, it's about just being free in God. That's what it's about. Being caught up in that haze of brilliant light. I would like pastors and leaders from this church and from anywhere else, if you're in official leadership position or you're a pastor from other churches or this one, could you please stand and come to the front here? God told me to start ministering to you guys first. From other churches as well as this one. Come as close to the front as you can and make a straight line. And if I could have at least four helpers, a few guys with strong backs, come a bit closer. Just come up here, guys. And I have to work in straight lines. The Holy Ghost can work everywhere once, but I've got this fixation about straight lines. Come up here, brother. Bless you. That's all right. Just a little bit closer. Come a bit closer to me. In case some of you fall down, you won't go cracking in on chairs. Stay with me, congregation. Let's stretch your hands to it. How many of you are out here because you're leaders? Okay. Where's my helpers? Good. Great. I'll pray for the other leaders. Just stay there. I'll come to you in a minute. Just lift your hands, guys. You see, for revivals to go ahead, it's got to come through leadership. Because you're the ones that can promote it or stop it. I'm just going to ask God to release you with that revival spirit. Because it'll take more than one man to do this. It'll hit you then, begin to hit the people out there. Wow, there's a lot of leaders here tonight. Just open yourselves right up, guys. I haven't got time to spend a lot of time with you all. Oh, in fact, all the ones on the front row, I want you to very lightly join hands. Very lightly. So if the one next to you falls down, you don't feel like you're being pulled. Now, I need a helper behind everyone. I'm just going to say the word now, and the power of God is just going to start here and run straight up there. And a lot of these people are going to be knocked to the ground. So is there a person behind every one of them? Right. Everyone relax, Eddie. You've got a person behind you. Power of God's going to touch you. I want you to... Oh, there it goes. It's coming already. Hey, I haven't even said now yet. What are you doing? Oh. Just join hands with this one. He's gone. He's in La La Land. That's it. Just there. I want you to see Jesus in front of you. Now! Some of you took yourself out of the spirit. That's all right. Oh, Danny, he's going. Thank you, Lord. So you pushed them all down. Yeah, you can see that. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lady, a power of God. Oh, just open up. Oh, you're a bit shy. You're a nice lady. Just a little bit shy. Too worried. Let it all go. There it is. I can feel the power coming with you now. You can stand up. That's fine. Bye. See, the anointing bottlenecks, it goes into my hand and comes back at me. That means you're obviously very good at giving, but like a lot of Australians, you're not too good at receiving. Now, a lot of people have that problem. You don't mind giving, but to receive, oh, how do you do that? You just open up. How do I do that? You're a little flower. Just open up. That's it. Now you're opening up. Open. Oh, I just want to get that Holy Ghost right into you. Oop, there it is. It's all right. She's opened up now. She's thinking, what the heck's happening? It's touching her differently. There it goes. It's all right. Let it keep going through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's called the joy of the Lord. This happened before. She's really out to it. So are all these other leaders. Look at them all under the power of God. Give her another dose, Lord. Just let it out of your belly. Let it out of your belly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come and help me, Cher. Thank you, Jesus, for them all. Well, strong anointing here. Thank you. La 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 la. Thank you. See, people don't have to fall down to receive. They're getting it all here. Just a little bit stronger on this couple, Lord. They're going to need it with this revival ministry you're going to birth him into. Hesha hanzu koda bandro ta de betti. Thank you, Jesus. What is it with this laughing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Touch them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oof. Give it out to them, God. Give it out to them. All right, where's the other leaders? You're all out here. Are you? Just lift your hands, all the other leaders. Just stand a little bit closer. Need the helpers? Thank you. Now, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about standing for. Please, just look at Jesus right now. Look at Jesus. It's all about Him. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people, God. Touched. Touch, 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 touch. Now, come on, folks, open up. A lot of people in America, you're like Australians. You're very good at giving, but you don't know how to receive. It's easy. You just open your soul up. Open up. In Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's it. Open, 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 open. Just take it. Take it, take it, take it. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Oof. Come breathe upon a breath of God. Breathe upon a breath of God. Give these wonderful people a great experience in the Holy Ghost. That's the way. Let it come upon them in fire, Lord Jesus Christ. Absolute fire. There it is. Absolute fire. Oof. Oh. That's okay. Let it go through you. Let it go through you again. Sorry about that. That was my fault. You're falling forward. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There it goes. Father, that anointing. Oh, some of you people, you're hungry, but you're a little bit closed. I might have to give a teaching on opening up. But you're beautiful people, a lot of you. That's it. Now you're getting it. Oof. It's just receiving. Just like if you remember your little child and your father gave you a Christmas present. You just received it. Oop, there it is. Oop, dee, 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 dee. La, 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 la. Thank you, oof. Oof. Imagine when people get it. Thank you, Lord. Just stay with her for a minute. Thank you for this dear, wonderful lady. Let the power of Almighty God just go through her and through her. That's it. Just take it, take it, take it, take it. Oh, geez, I feel like giving you a little shove, but I won't do that. Get the deacons to. You're beautiful people. God's touching you with His power. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Manda karabushti siste verebeti divishti. There it is. Let it go through you. That's all right. That's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful man. Oof. Touch him with absolute power right now. There's like electricity there for a minute, wasn't it? Now. Just come over here, sir. Father, let the power of God just come on this young man. Just lift your hands. Here it is. It's going all over you right now. Thank you for him, Lord Jesus Christ. Out of his belly, let there flow rivers of living water. Now. Fire, fire upon him. Quit praying and just receive. That's the secret. Oh, you're as tight as anything in there. You're a good man, though. Father, thank you for him. Thank you. That's it. Oh, Jesus, thank you for him. Bless this. Bring a great revival, a great revival, a great revival. Let it touch him, Jesus. Let it touch him. Let it touch him. In Jesus' awesome name. Touched. Who else have we got here? I've prayed for them. They're okay. Where? Word of prayer. I'm only praying for leaders at the moment. I'll pray for people in a minute. I'll pray for you in a minute, sir. I'll pray for you. Yes, I'll pray for you. Sorry, I didn't hit him in the head. Just come here. You gave your life to Jesus tonight, eh? Just lift your hands. Devil, you got no... Stretch your hands towards this dear lady. You got no power over this dear lady. I command every oppressive spirit that's tried to destroy this life, I command you to leave her in Jesus' name. I command the power of God to come all over her body right now. Go into her soul, Lord. Go into her spirit, Lord. Go into her mind in Jesus' mighty name. Let the power of Almighty God come upon her right now. In Jesus' awesome name. Now, let the power of God... Let it go through you. Let it go through you. In Jesus' awesome name. In Jesus' awesome name. In Jesus' awesome name. Jesus. That's it. Let it go. In Jesus' name. That's a good way to come to Christ. In the name of Jesus. I think I've already prayed for you guys, haven't I? Oof. That's what you call a late anointing. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I've already prayed for this dear lady, but you get it again. Oof. There goes that anointing. That anointing, that anointing. Wonderful Jesus. It's right. Keep letting the Holy Ghost come on you. What a marvelous Christ. Absolutely marvelous. How you doing? Let me pray for you. Can we have a couple of helpers? Thank you, guys. Oh, she's... You're already receiving, aren't you? Just lift your hands. Glory to God. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Just touch this wonderful lady with it now. In Jesus' mighty name right now, let that power of God go through her. If you fall under the power of God, stay there and don't get up until the anointing lifts off you. You're under God's operating table. Mrs. Greenshirt, could you come? Thank you. How you doing? God is a good God. He's so good to me. Can we have a worship tape going? You've got Roy's one, that thing. That's a pretty good one. And just quietly in the background. I'm like Elijah the prophet. I haven't got as much power as he had, but I need music playing to be sharp for some reason. I need anointed music playing. Father, thank you for this wonderful lady. Just lift your hands to Jesus. As you, the power of God will just fill you right now. There it is, right now. The filling of the Holy Ghost. And hello, lady. Would you like a touch of God? You look like a nice lady. Just find a bit of carpet over there somewhere. Lift your hands to Jesus and just receive. What a marvelous Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oof. La, 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 la. Mighty God. Can I pray for this couple here? I'm being very drawn to you two. Yeah, just stand down there. Just keep your hearts open, friends. God might even touch you. Let's lift your hands. Just close your eyes. Forget about everything. Father, thank you for this wonderful couple. Touch them with the power of God right now. They're hungry for you. That's why they're here tonight. To touch them with the fire. We want to see Kingston turn into a great revival, God. We want to see this town turned upside down. We want to see the crime rate drop. We want to see, Lord Jesus, the economy of the cities go right up because of the church moving forward with the revival power. We want to see it. Oof. Oh, thank God, the anointing's come back. Didn't feel it for a minute there. Come here, lady, let me pray for you. Just over here somewhere. Who around here has had a lot of problem with your knees? As soon as I'm walking in this area, I'm feeling... Is that you? Just stand over there. God's going to heal you of your knees. Is there anybody else around here? Oh, is it you? Okay, you come too. Just come. How'd you... Oh, God. Just lift your hands, dear lady. Sorry about that. Thank you for this wonderful lady, God, as the power of God just touches her right now. And fills her with that revival fire in Jesus' awesome name. Let it go through her body. Let it go through her right now. knees, hey? God's going to heal them. Or heal it. Is it both of them? Just lift your hands. Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Word of knowledge is one thing. I ask you to release the gifts of the Spirit of healing power into those knees. I reach into that realm of the Spirit. I take those gifts of the Spirit and I put it upon her now. And I command her to be healed in Jesus' name right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the power of God just hit this wonderful lady. Once again, I reach into that realm of the Spirit. Take that precious gifts of healings and put it upon this dear lady for her niece to be healed right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Oh, that's it. Stop praying and let it go through you. Let it go through you. Let it go through you. Oh, in Jesus' name. There it is. In Jesus' name. Forget about everything else. Just receiving. This is not a show. I just want God to come through for you. That's it. It's going through you now. Oh, Jesus. Take away all that pain. All that suffering in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing of those knees. Now, Mr. Mustache, could you come? I don't know people's names, so I just got to pick on something you have. You got a mustache on you. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, sir. I just want God to bless you, touch you with a prayer. Thank you for him, God. I can see he's very open to you, Lord Jesus. Touch him, Lord Jesus Christ. Meet that need in his life, Lord Jesus Christ. Let the power of God go through him right now and totally just heal him right now. And let the power of God just touch him. Bless him. You're too worried. We're going to do that again because I want to see you totally blessed. Next time, don't worry. Just pretend you're by yourself with God in a room. Father, touch this wonderful man. I thank you for him. And just put that anointing upon him right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Ooh, now he's worried about falling. God, break through that barrier and just touch him. What a nice man. Touch him, touch him, touch him, touch him. Fire of God. You're a good brother. Mm-hmm. You're a good brother. You know, you just come to Jesus as you are, man. Don't worry about what you've got to give up and what you've got to do. Forget about all that. Fall in love with Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. And any problems you have, any habits you might have, will just drop off. Simple as that. It's no big deal. It's all about him. Thanks for letting me. Yes, it is. Oh, Carmen City, thank you. I don't know what's the matter. But God's going to refresh you and heal your body. Thank you for her, Lord Jesus Christ. That power of God just going into her. She's opened so much to you. Let that awesome power of God just go through her right now. There it is, that anointing of God just going into your body right now. You must have had something wrong in your body because there was a healing anointing there. Thank you, Jesus. Here, let me minister to you. That's your wife next to you. Come, wifey. Sorry, Mrs. Wife. Yes, just lift your hands. Father, thank you, this wonderful couple. That's the glory of God. Yeah, I'm amazed in meetings like this of the power of God that happens in people's lives just through people falling down or people being touched by God. Never ceases to amaze me. And I love watching it in the spirit realm. As I said last night, this realm, I don't muck around with it. I see it all the time. I see the glory. I see the power. I can feel it going into people. It's more real to me than this natural realm. It really is. Father, thank you for this wonderful couple. So we just reach out to you, Jesus, and touch them with the power of God right now. There it is. It's going right through you right now. Glory of God. The glory of God. Oh, please take it, because I'm going down here. Jesus, touch her. Touch her. Touch her. Oh,
There's a healing anointing here too.
Healed by the power of God.
You have a sickness in your body? Yes. God's starting to heal it. What's up?
Go in Jesus' name, arthritis. Leave her. I just felt that healing touch. Leave her now. Go from her body now. I take that healing presence from that realm of the spirit and I put it onto her body now. And I command you to heal. Joints, loosen up, loosen up. Let the power of God just heal her. There it goes in Jesus' mighty name. That power of God, that anointing of God, that anointing of God. You're going to be totally healed from this thing in Jesus' name. Totally healed. In Jesus' name. Can I minister to you, brother? You look like a nice man. Just lift your hands, sir. As you do, the power of God will just flood you. Thank you for this man who's known you for a lot of years. Touch him, Jesus. What a man of God. Just touch him. Give him an experience that he hasn't had for many years. Touch him with the fire and the power of God. And oh, there it is. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Now remember, if you fall under the power of God, stay down until the presence of God lifts off you. Otherwise, you abort what God's trying to do in you. Can I minister to you, dear lady? Come. You're like a nice lady. Obviously, his husband. His wife. Husband. Wife. That's a nice jacket you're wearing. Well, I ask God to heal that hip and knees. That's not a word of knowledge. I can just tell by the way you're walking. Oh, you broke your leg. It's having trouble healing. Okay. How long ago did you break it?
About 5 years ago.
Okay. We're going to believe God will take away all those effects, okay? Now, it's very important you forget about standing or falling. Whether you stand or fall, it doesn't matter. Just focus in on Jesus. Lift your hands. Father, stretch your hands towards us, dear lady. Heal the effects of that broken leg, Lord Jesus. Heal it, Lord Jesus, right now. Go into those joints. Go into those muscles. Loosen every tendon, loosen every sinew, loosen every ligament, Lord Jesus. Anything that's out of place, put it back in place in Jesus' mighty name. I command that healing presence of God to touch her and to heal her now. In Jesus' name. Expect to be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. La la la. Can I pray for you, sir? You look like a very nice person. You've known God for a while too, haven't you?
Yeah.
Probably before I was born, hey?
Oh, yeah.
So you've seen moves of God in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to see it hit you tonight? Just lift your hands. Thank you for this wonderful man. Thank you for these people of maturity, Lord, and they've come here tonight. Thank you for them. We need them in the body of Christ, Lord Jesus. But they also need to be freshened in the Holy Ghost. We all need it, God. Just freshen this man. Like when you first touched him all those years ago. Touch him again now. In Jesus' awesome name. Let the power of Almighty God go through his body in Jesus' awesome name right now and totally heal him. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it. La 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 la. Ooh, do 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 do. Oh, Jesus. Breathe upon him in a fresh way. Just give me a hand. Stay there. Thank you for this lovely lady. Touch them both with the power of God. Touch them with the fire of God. Heal any sickness and disease in Jesus' name. Touch them. Touch them. Touch them. You, can I pray for you? Is that your wife there? Come, wifey. Excuse my Australianisms. You two are going to be drunk. Where's the helpers? Quick. Oh, Father, there's it. Lift your hands as you do. It's a drunkard anointing because it's hitting me. Now. There it is. There it is. Ooh. Now. Holy Ghost would touch everybody with power if we just opened up. La 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 la. He's having a good old time. Drunk, 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 drunk. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Jesus. Why does God do it this way? I wouldn't have a clue, but it's good. Why does God do it this way? I don't know. Jesus. I pray for you. Oh, my Jesus. Lift your hands as you do, the power of God will just fall on you. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus Christ. There it goes. Manda got a vendere vishtus to the bush to come out. Fire. Oof. Yeah. Can I pray for you too? You're obviously a couple. Yeah, probably before I was born. I'll tell you what, come out the front. Sounds like something from the Munsters. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands. Thank you for this wonderful couple. Touch them with that refreshing, fresh fire. Oh, sorry. Fresh fire. Oof. Fresh. You're just going to go to bed tonight as happy as a pig in mud. You're going to wake up tomorrow as happy. You're just going to feel this freshness all about you. Life's been a bit busy lately and fresh. Ooh. Fresh. Please remember it's tomorrow morning as well, but obviously go to your own churches if you're from another church. But tomorrow night, if you can come back, it'll be great. Get the word out. Just get the word out, because we're extending these meetings. And the whole purpose is we want to see revival. Who's in for revival in your city? Look, I'm telling you, you might say, is this it? No, it's the beginnings of it. See, God uses all this stuff to loosen everybody up and to freshen people. Can you see? You've got to see the picture. I find that when I do revival meetings, if I can get the people to see why God does these things, even the most religious people open up. Now, you're not religious in here tonight, but even the most conservative people open up if they can get the revelation of why God's doing this. And the good thing is that there's been major revivals, if you study revival history, and this same thing happens in every revival. Whether it's a healing revival, there's always the joy. There's always... Where do you think they get the term the holy rollers from? People roll everywhere. People shake, people laugh. Why does God do it? I wish he'd do it in a more conservative way, but he does it to knock the stinking pride out of us, I'm telling you. So we'll be open to do whatever he wants. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I've never had the joy hit me, well, neither have I. I've seen it hit hundreds of thousands of people around planet Earth, and I've never had the joy of the Lord hit me. I've laughed at everybody else, and there's been lots of times I've been joyful. And I said to the Lord, well, how come I don't experience all these things? I feel it, but I don't experience it. And he said, well, if it's going to hit you every time, son, you'll be under the floor all the time. Fat lot of good you'll be ministering to my people, you know. So I've got to be able to contain it. But sometimes I just wish I could get it. And don't line up to pray for me after. Say, give it him, Lord, give it him, Lord. Unless God tells you to. I'm just using my life as an example to help you. That whether it hits you or not, just be open. Don't knock it. That's all I'm saying.
Excuse me.
Jesus. Look, before I close the meeting, if anybody else just wants a touch from God, just stand up where you are in your seats. If you've come tonight, you're just wanting a touch. I don't want to miss you. But we'll be out of here soon. Just stand in the aisles, all those people who are wanting a touch from God. I'll come to you. Just be open to receive. Don't expect me to do it for you. Just let me be an instrument of God to touch what's already open in you. I do have CDs that I've got downstairs. I've got individual CDs and I've got a four-pack CD down in the bottom room, the bottom of the stairs there. If anybody would like to purchase them, you're more than welcome. A lot of it was the sort of music I was doing tonight with the band. Quite a number of those songs are actually on my CDs. And they'll bless you. For some reason, they're sold all over the world, and I've tried to make them as cheap as possible because you understand they cost thousands of dollars to produce. So I've got to make that up somehow. But I've tried to keep the cost really low, and you'll see the cost down there. So you can look at them if you want. Right, these people, you're all, where are you? You're all here. I'll start here. How are you, sir?